Blog Talk Radio.
I wish there was a video game to teach you your ancestor name. I wish there was a phone number like 1-800-SAVE-YOUR-BROTHER. I'm thankful for the radio station, not afraid to put the truth in rotation. But there is certain information that you can only get in conversation with young people or talk to
old people.
It would make a
and welcome to First Ladies Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Susan McDonald, coming to you from amazing Las Vegas, Nevada. And as I said, this is First Ladies Blog Talk Radio. If you'd like to call in, you can call us at 347-324-5730. Again, that number is area code 347-324-5730. Well, you know, as we regularly do, we always say we'd like you to get a glass of water, get a cup of tea, whatever it takes for you to be comfortable for the next 28 minutes. So I'd like for you to gather yourself now and grab your mirrors, because this is going to be something, again, you know, we have to encourage ourselves and speak to ourselves. And I see my amazing First Lady co-host is already on the line, so I'm going to pull her in and then I'll go from there. Good morning, Lady Kathy, my friend, the First Lady, switch hats, just spin them around on your head. Good morning. Just spin those hats. Wife, doctor, nurse, help, take care of children, grandmother, name it. Come on.
Oh, my God. Yes, Lordy. I'm getting tired of listening to you talking about Jesus and all that. Oh, my God. Yes.
So which hat has landed today? So far?
So right now we're on the First Ladies Blog Talk Radio show. Yes.
All right.
Good morning. Then. How are you?
I'm great. How about yourself?
Not bad at all. Yeah. I actually forgot it was Friday. At the last minute, I said, oh, my God, it's Friday.
And you were on early. You got on before you were late. So that's a great thing.
Yeah, absolutely. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm real good. Earlier the week, my father-in-law passed away, and I was sitting thinking about it when I got ready to do the show. And I was also thinking that, okay, I had this, God told me, when he was like in a pretty bad state, God said, there's a baby being born, and I didn't know anybody was pregnant. Well, his granddaughter, which is my niece, my husband's sister's daughter, had a little boy. And when he had that little boy, God had said, I always, when I take a gift, I give a gift. And I didn't get it at first, but then I was speaking to Apostle, and I told him, and he was like, wow. So I reminded him yesterday, and he was like, "That is, I remember that." So I was looking, I was sitting here, and I was thinking about that after he and I spoke, and I was preparing for the show. And the scripture came to me, which is John 12:24, and then it's also 1 Corinthians 15:36. Where it says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, you know, it cannot reproduce. And I was sitting here and I was really, really thinking about it. So I want to kind of talk about that today, because it's weird, because you know how people call you and they say, well, one person called me and said, well, I heard you lost your father-in-law. And I said, I didn't lose him. I know exactly where he is. You know, so a lot of times the way, you know, a lot of times the way we say things, even when my mother passed away, people was like, I can't believe the loss. You know, you lost your mother. And I was like, I didn't lose my mother. I know exactly where she is. But the fact is that instead of us looking at it as a loss, then you look, because Paula's daughter is, she's a reincarnated of my mother, Frida and her daughter. Just that little Chrissy way that they have. I mean, it's just little things that they do that remind me of my mother to a really serious degree. So, again, getting back to the scripture of except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it cannot be reproduced, or the seed would only be a single seed. So I want to talk about that today because we've been talking about rebuilding the foundation, but we haven't gotten to the part of all of the soldiers that came before us and that have come of age and they're ready to go home. They're ready to go and rest, you know, from death to the resurrection with the Father. And I remember that song, We Are Standing on Holy Ground. And that's a song that came to me. So I want to talk about that today. And how is it, do we really understand what that means when, I know a lot of people say, unless a seed fall to the ground, but when you look at scripture, and that's something else that we have to pay attention to, because if not, we can be deceived by what is told to us. People sit in church all day long. They're listening to be ministered to, but they don't know the word themselves, so they could easily be tricked, or the word could be switched to feel, you know, to figure out whatever they want it to be. But the scripture actually says in John 12 and 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abide alone, but if it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. And so the metamorphosis of that, if we really, really want to look at that, if you look at when people are growing fruit, or if you put a tree in it, it's a fruit tree. There is a seed that you put in the ground, and as it actually deteriorates, and I don't know if anybody's ever done it. I remember when we were kids, we would take an avocado seed partially in the water, the bottom part in the water. The tip in the water, and the bottom part would crack open, and the top part of it would be all, you know, icky looking. But then after a while, you look and there starts to be greenery growing out of them. Those are really beautiful plants when it happens. So, again, let's talk about that now. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it could bear no fruit. It'll only bear a single fruit, not a multitude. Let's talk about that, Lady Kathy. What do you say?
Yeah, you know, we know that in order for something to grow, it must be buried. It must be put into soil so that it can get the proper nutrients and the proper fertilizers that it needs to spring forth and bring forth fruit. And that is metaphorically speaking, because we know that, well, kind of metaphorically speaking, but also when we die, those of us that choose to are buried in the dirt. And so our soul leaves our body. So it's just our bones, you know, our body, our corpse that's in the ground. Mm-hmm. In order for generations to come forth, the ones that were before us must die out. If the position is already taken, then there's no need to be filled. Mm-hmm. But once the position is vacant, then someone else steps into that position and flourishes. And so when the Bible says, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, we can't bury a seed in stone or in concrete or in water. It must be buried in dirt in order to grow. I mean, I pre-seeded things in water, but just so that it'll sprout, like if I was replanting a plant, I can do that in water just so that it would sprout the roots. But once the roots come out, I have to put it in soil. I have to put it in the ground so that it can flourish and grow. And as long as we're here and we're not being able to reproduce, then that dies off. I was talking to somebody about generations. I don't know if it was you or not, but I was talking to somebody about generations and how, I know that's talking about. But anyway, I know sometimes the enemy wants to cut off the generation.
Right.
And in order to do that, everybody in that generation has to die out. But if we reproduce, everything reproduces after its own kind.
Yes, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
So
if the seeds that we plant,
and we should be planting seeds all the time. Like I plant seeds in my children. I plant seeds in my granddaughter. I plant seeds in the people in the ministry. You know, so those are reproductions of Kathy, of God, you know, because you've been talking about God. I'm planting seeds that will take root and flourish.
Wow. Yes.
And in order to do that, while we're still here and we're living, a part of us has to die off.
Yeah.
A part of us has to give up being not being transparent and letting go of not being vulnerable and die off and show our authentic self in order that someone else may live and flourish.
Right. And when you said that, I was looking at 1 Corinthians 15 and 36. It says, how foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And then it had the part about the resurrection, because the one part I was looking at is the resurrection body. And it says, but someone will say, how are the dead raised? And what kind of body do they come? And then it says, you fool. That which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And that which you sow, you do not sow to the body, which is to be, but a bare grain, perhaps wheat or something else. And the thing is that even with us talking about that, listening to what you said, I was thinking about too, even when, okay, like my father-in-law, with him passing away, to be perfectly honest, he was in such pain. They had taken one of his limbs, and, you know, there were just so many different things that they were doing that were incorrect to him. So he hung in there for a while. But you know what? When the baby was born and he finally saw the baby, he relaxed and left here. He resigned that it was time for him to go home. And again, back to what you said, the part about having an expectation, when you plant something, you don't just, or when he passed away, he his physical body passed away, but like you said, the generations of his three children and their children and now their children's children, that is a generational thing. One seed may have passed away, which was his parents prior to, but the planting of that in the soil. But let's ask one question. How do you feel? Because, you know, a lot of times for financial sake, people actually are cremated. And there are a lot of discrepancies about that. But I understand that because of a financial situation, but that's only a shell anyway. And even in the cremation, the ashes, what did God say? Ashes to ashes, they say, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. It goes back to the ground irregardless. But how do you feel about the part of cremation getting back to one other part? Remember I told you my father burned up the backyard, and I thought he was losing his mind because he began to burn it, and after he burned it, while one side was still burning, he would beat the other side. And he was telling me about the resurrection of the fertilizer and how you turn the soil over when you burn it. And I remember him telling me about, you know, we didn't think my dad was that religious or that he was that he knew the word of God, I'll put it that way. But he actually said when you burn it, he says, have you ever listened to the scripture about how the burning bush? The bush never died. It was a representation of what Jesus had said. And when he said that, that kind of brought a lot to me. But let's discuss this part, cremation. How do you feel about cremation? And what do you feel?
Well, I, excuse me, cremation is a personal choice, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But right. I shouldn't take that back. Cremation sometimes is a personal choice because I know, because a good friend that we know chose cremation. My husband and I are against cremation because the Bible speaks about cremation, and I was trying to think of the scripture that he gives for that, but basically it talks about something about not letting your ashes be scattered or something. I can't remember the scripture. I apologize. But like you were saying, a lot of times cremation is because of financial issues. And the family, usually the family doesn't have money to bury. And the state will give you a certain amount to bury, so that usually amounts to enough to have the cremation done. But my daughter and I were talking about this last week, actually, and she informed me that she wanted to be cremated. And I asked her why. I asked her why, and she said because she don't want to be in the ground because it's so cold and damp and dark, and I don't want bugs eating up my body. I said, that's your reason? She said, yes. I want to be, you know, I said, you'd rather be burned? And she said, yeah, it's too cold in the ground. I don't want to be down there. You won't know. I mean, this was her reason for being cremated. I said,
right.
Well, you probably have a cold ground to be in because I'm not going to cremate you. But,
oh, wow.
It is a personal preference. And then I said to her, and then what do you want me to do with your ashes? Because you won't be sitting on my mantle.
Oh, no.
Some people like to have their relatives right there. I prefer not to. When you're gone, I'm going to tuck you away really nicely in a nice casket and put you in the ground that you won't know that you're there and say, bon voyage, whatever it is, because I'm not having you sitting on my mantle and then going to it and saying hello to my child who's not there. So unless you want them scattered, no. But I don't believe in cremation because we don't believe in cremation. My husband and I don't believe in cremation as believers. We don't believe in cremation. But if people want to be cremated, that's their personal choice. I wanted to be cremated at one point, but it was because of my mindset. And I had the conversation with my mother, and her response to me was, you must be crazy. Ain't nobody going to burn up their child.
Yeah. Well, I was looking in the Bible. I basically kind of right then was Googling it, and then in 1 Corinthians 15:35-55, it says, it is the same way with the resurrection of death. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will rise again and live forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will rise in glory. And then I went further down, and it says, they gave a little bit of a statement on it. They say it comes down to a personal choice as to whether you want to be buried or cremated. It is more a cultural and psychological issue rather than a biblical one. So it's kind of it leaves it open right there. And then it has something in Genesis, by the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and dust you shall return. And then I kind of looked at that even because I know when my father passed away, he stipulated, do not spend a whole bunch of money on no funeral. This is what I want. So we did it instead of an urn and carrying the body around, which is pretty special. We did what he asked. We took those ashes and returned them back to the ground, you know, and then he has a place, same as my mother. My sister Paula, I think, still has those ashes. They can have that. They wanted to know if I wanted them. I'm like, that'll be a no. She's not there. So they even have it now. I remember when my mother passed, they have this little necklace with the heart, and they put, like, this little gold dust stand in there. I was like, no.
Yeah.
That's creepy
to me.
Well, it's a little morbid, you know, to me as well. But for those that, you know, that doesn't bother them. But the, for me, if in the event that were the situation, like with my father, we just buried him. I mean, and all of us can be buried in the military graveyard with my dad. So that doesn't even bother me, that part. But the bottom line being is we're talking about, you know, the unless one something dies, nothing can live. Because also it would overpopulate. So God knew exactly what he was doing when he did this. But the other part of that is that we need to come to a place that, you know, whatever it is, with my father-in-law, I'll just use that right now, it's not unto death because he has risen on the other
side.
Right,
that's the key.
Yeah. And that's the part I look forward to myself. You know, it's not scary to me. It's not, I know that other people, you know, will feel more about it than you do. Well, first of all, you're not here. You don't care. But the basic part of this is that we have to understand that we have got to, and this is not even to death of your physical body sometimes. Sometimes in your life, there are things that have to fall off that you can have a rebirth. You know, so
exactly.
I think if we actually look at it as it really is, I mean, it would be crazy to continue to be acting like little children and, you know, acting like little kids when even in the Bible it talks about, you know, when you grow up, please don't do the same thing as children are still doing. You gotta go to the next level. And we have a lot of people that actually go to that don't want to grow up, that don't want to mature, don't want to let that part of themselves die, that a kid can be a kid. So it's a lot of different angles that we could look at with that. And again, we've been talking about except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. It cannot yield fruit. And also that goes with us personally. There are things that we have to shed off that something else can live in our life, and we have to really work on that. But I'm gonna kind of throw that back at you. How do you feel when we say, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die? Personally, what is something that one thing you have, and I want to congratulate you, that you had that book and did all that studying, and it fell to the ground, and now the seeds are getting ready to take place. We have a graduation taking place. I mean, that is so amazing.
God.
Yes. And I know by the way you're brown.
Oh, my God. Yes. I started this journey in 2007, and so now it's finally coming to fruition, and I'm very excited about this because, you know, I made this dedication, and in order to get to this level, you do have to deny some parts of yourself and look for the greater good. And as you were speaking a little bit ago, I thought about Jesus. He was the ultimate example of dying for the greater good. Dying so that others may live. He endured the cross so that we can have victory and eternal life. And it wasn't a selfish act. It was his purpose. But he could have said, I'm not gonna do this. I'm not doing this. No, you want me to do what? No, these people don't even like me. I'm not doing this. They don't even appreciate me. But he was the perfect example of dying so that others may live. That corn fell to the ground and died so that we could be here and to live life and to live it abundantly. And when you were talking about the children, we have the Paul says that when I was a child, I spoke as a child. But when I became a man, I put away foolish things. We can't still act like children as adults and grown-ups. In order for us to be able to move forward, we have to shed things. My daughter, Ranisha, when she was born, I'm going to give this quick story about having to die to certain things as to become adults. When she was born, I got this education when she was younger. But when we're formed in the embryonic stage, we have certain organs. I didn't know this, and I don't know if you know this. We have certain organs that when we become a fetus, an embryo, there's certain organs that we have at that stage. And then during a certain stage of the pregnancy, those organs fall off and we get new organs. I didn't know that. I didn't know we didn't have the same organs that we, when we first, in the first gestational stage, we have certain organs. And then as we mature in the womb and go through different stages, you notice there's three stages of pregnancy.
Right.
Three terms, first, second, and third, I believe. Well, it's been a long time. But when we're actually born, the organs that we have when we're born are not the organs that we started off with in the gestational stage of the pregnancy. And the reason why I know this is because when she was 10 years old, for all her life she had asthma really, really badly, and I don't care what they did, they could not get rid of this weed. And she had was hospitalized all her life. 1 year she was hospitalized 9 times, and I mean it was critical. It was at a stage where she was in ICU. She had to be intubated. She had to be sleeping in oxygen tanks. And no matter what they did, they would get her under control, but the wheezing would never stop. So when she was 10 years old, a doctor looked at her x-ray and said, well, she has pneumonia again. I think that was the ninth time that year. She has pneumonia again, a lot of fluid on her lungs. But I see something else, and I'm not sure if it's just the pneumonia and all the fluid that's in her lungs. But after we get her stabilized and she's well, I want you to bring her back so I can look, because I see a mass, and pneumonia is not normally that solid.
Right.
And so, excuse me. So we got her to a stable stage, and then 2 weeks later she had a flare-up, real sick, pneumonia again, and I didn't get a chance to bring her back to the hospital. After they cleared her up, because she had she got sick again, very, very sick. Well, while she was in the hospital this time, he says, while I have her here, I'm going to just look deeper. And don't you know, this man said, I see a mass that I think it was like 3 centimeters. It was the size of my hand, the palm of my hand, what the mass was. He said, I don't know what this is, but there's a mass there that I'm pretty sure is not pneumonia. So he sent her to a specialist. The specialist went and looked, and he came back and said, oh, my God, I have not seen a mass this big in the kidney. This is the second yet that I've seen in my, I don't know, 20-year history of doing this search of, you know, being a doctor. I can't remember what kind of doctor it was, some specialist.
Right.
Neuro something. He said, this is the second largest I've seen in my 20-year history. I said, what is it? He said, it was on her esophagus. So it was so huge, it was on her esophagus, but it was squeezing out her lung. And literally, because her lung always collapsed. And literally, her lung was collapsing from this. So what it's called is a duplication cyst. A duplication cyst. And what it was is that he said, this is how he explained it to me. And just like I just told you, when we are at a certain stage of pregnancy, we have a certain set of organs. They fall off, other organs come that we're born with. Hers didn't fall off.
Wow.
And it was literally squeezing out her heart and lungs, and it was going to kill her. And he said, do you know, when I see this, it's normally in an adult, and it's cancer. So that organ didn't fall to the ground and die. And because it didn't, it was killing.
It could have caused death. Right. Wow.
Yes.
That's
so deep. He said the only other time you saw that huge one like that was on a kid that was like 3, and the only reason why it showed up is because it was on his somewhere in the area and was squeezing out his jugular. And he was the second in history. I think it's documented somewhere. But that's sort of thing. Except the corner we fall to the ground and die. That didn't fall off. And if we don't have these things in us, they need to fall off so that we can flourish and become productive, healthy human beings in the kingdom and in the world, it's going to squeeze us out and kill us.
Absolutely. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And you know what's
yeah.
Apostle was here just recently, and we had a Bible study. And this brings to my mind what he said. He was talking about, and he started ministering on it, to where a lot of times, When Jesus died, came off the cross, was put on the cross, and he was the seed that was put there to die, that we would have life and life more abundantly. He said, but why do people wear the cross and with the look of Jesus, because nobody knows what he looks like, on the cross?
And that's where he died on
the
My
cross.
God.
Right.
My God.
And
he put
said,
me back on
what,
the cross, though.
Right. And the crazy thing is, and everybody goes get the big ropes and all of that and put him on there. But
mm-hmm.
the difference
mm-hmm.
is, and let's talk about this on the next show. Maybe we can have him on. No, we have Judith on next week, I think. But the bottom
uh-huh.
part of this is that I want us to talk about this. He was the corn of wheat that fell to the ground and died, that we would be able to flourish. Apostle talks
yes.
about
hallelujah.
Now, because of his death and his resurrection, we have the opportunity to not be in front of the cross where all the darts and everything are. When are we going to resign ourselves, and we're going to end right here, to go behind the cross?
Beyond the veil. My God.
Yes. Yes. So we're going to talk about that next on Friday, as a matter of fact. This is First Ladies Blog Talk Radio. Our show has come to an end, except the corn of wheat falls into the ground and die. It can only bear a single seed. And we want to be able to have a full garden. Again, this is First Ladies Blog Talk Radio. I'd like to thank my co-host, Lady Kathy Howard, which is also one of our sponsors, which is Destined for Glory Ministries, Pastor Tony Howard, and as I said, Lady Kathy Howard. Also, you can give us the phone number and everything there, Lady Kathy, an address so that they can actually meet up and come and see you.
Yes, our phone number is area code 702-364-5679. And our address is 60, it's Destined for Glory World Outreach Ministries at 6037 South Rainbow Boulevard, right here in Las Vegas, Nevada, 89118.
And our other sponsor is Hands of Comfort Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization dealing with anything that is traumatic to you, be it the loss of a house, loss of a job. It was established because of a suicide. But we're here to help you 24/7, the phone number being 702-683-6373. Again, we're at the end of our show. We're here every Monday and Friday, 10 a.m. to 10:30. Everyone is welcome. We have a Facebook, a Twitter, name it, you can find us. First Lady, so if you'd like to contact us, please do. And we're always looking forward to being able to have things that are not only helpful to us, but helpful to you. So again, thank you for joining us for First Lady Blog Talk Radio. See you on Friday.
Now we're going from